It is the Doomsday Podcast, and it is an episode, and you're hearing the voice of Matt Mosley, Ed Werder. You'll hear his voice here in a second. I am making at least a brief appearance this evening, coming back from some neck surgery, and it has been a little bit of a interesting road. Ed, good to visit with you, man. You got to see a game in person today that ended up being a lot better game and a lot closer than any of us anticipated. And it's nice to be able to visit with you tonight.
Yeah, good, great to have you back. I'm over here still at Jerry World, where, of course, the Steelers have beaten the Cowboys 24-19. I thought the Cowboys played a competitive football game, and it's been a long time since we could make that statement. To me, this was their most complete start to finish all three phases performance of the year. The Steelers obviously scored the last 15 points of the game, but I think overall what we saw in this game against the only undefeated team in the league made the performances of against Washington and Philadelphia all the more inexcusable, really, to me. And, you know, it seems to me that Garrett Gilbert as a quarterback was dramatically underestimated. And we should acknowledge that the coaching job by Mike McCarthy and Kellen Moore to get this quarterback ready against this defense was just exceptional. I mean, we're talking about the Cowboys starting their fourth different quarterback in five games. Garrett Gilbert, zero NFL starts, and it's coming against the only remaining undefeated team in the league, a Pittsburgh team that leads the NFL in 13 defensive categories, including sacks, quarterback hits, pressures, blitz percentage. So I thought that he handled it exceptionally well. It didn't look at all like it was too big for him. He didn't seem to be fazed by the pressure and all that the Steelers bring to bear on a quarterback. You know, McCarthy said that the decision on who would play would be based on these factors: management of the huddle and play at the line of scrimmage, eliminating the 1-2 center quarterback exchange issues occurring on a weekly basis, taking care, he said, of the damn ball, management of the run game while playing against a pressure defense, and getting the ball distributed in the passing game. And Gilbert had the one turnover, but I do think in general, and it was costly. He was in the end zone. It was costly, but I thought he played an exceptional game. And if it were up to me, I would start Gilbert in the next game against Minnesota rather than going back to Andy Dalton, even after he recovers from both the concussion and the COVID that caused his absence today.
Well, it's a very interesting take, Ed, and I did go ahead and start my Zoom video because I wanted you to be able to see this glorious beard that I have grown. I don't know if we can call it a playoff beard because the Cowboys aren't going to come anywhere close to that, but it is it's really gotten out of control, but I'm really not in a position to shave at this point. Chris Gross, our producer from Frito Nation Production, before we get too much further into this podcast, please play the music. All right, it is Doomsday time, Doomsday Podcast, and I am going to make an abbreviated visit tonight, starting to regain a little bit of strength. I've been under all kinds of pain medication as I come back from cervical fusion surgery, and Ed, you'll probably, I think you may prefer that I always stay on these pain meds. I tend to make more sense, I think, when I'm taking some of these things.
And you don't complain nearly as
much. No, neither one. You and I are two guys that never complained about anything. Ed, it was, boy, you said it right there off the top. That at least, I'm going to give you some things from my gut. And of course, Ed, as you know, I probably haven't written down as many things as you have, but I've written down a couple of things. That looked like an NFL quarterback. I mean, that, you know, you talked about, you know, this performance kind of made you think back to some of the ridiculous things we've seen the past few weeks since Dak Prescott went out. And it was kind of remarkable to see. And I don't know, you know, the Steelers, of course, could say, well, we didn't think the Cowboys were going to have anything. We went in and maybe didn't respect them. And some of that might be true. But this quarterback from the very first drive, you know, the long pass down there to Amari Cooper that went for around 30 yards or so. And this, you know, you could just see immediately, this is at least an NFL caliber type quarterback. And it just, it really kind of, it makes some of the past stuff we saw almost inexplicable. But yeah, the, you know, calling the game, getting him through that game. And Ed, if not for the one really, you know, just kind of mind-numbing mistake, and that, of course, was under heavy pressure, kind of willy-nilly throwing it up for grabs down there near the end zone. I mean, the Cowboys were in a great position there to either kick and make it 22-15 or to score a touchdown and go up, you know, even more. And that at that point, a touchdown there, Ed, I, again, I'm not saying it would have completely put the Steelers away, but it certainly was looking like the Cowboys really had them on their heels, and that sort of gave the Steelers new life.
Yeah, you know, one point I wanted to make about Garrett Gilbert as we talk about his performance in his first career NFL start, coming as it did against this hyper-aggressive Steelers defense, was that during the week, as I prepared to cover this game for ESPN, I arranged with the Steelers to talk to outside linebacker T.J. Watt. And Cowboys fans will obviously associate him with one of the biggest personnel blunders in Cowboys history, when in 2017 he was available when they were on the clock with the 28th pick in the first round, and they took Taco Charlton instead. And T.J. Watt has 30 more career sacks than Taco Charlton, who's no longer with the organization, is now playing as a backup with the Kansas City Chiefs. While Watt has established himself as one of the most dynamic defensive players in all of football. But I had a chance to talk to him this week, and I said, you know, with all the uncertainty about whoever it is the Cowboys play at quarterback, you know it's going to be somebody making their first career NFL start, whether it's Cooper Rush or it's Garrett Gilbert, and it winds up being Gilbert. What are your defensive priorities as you go into this game? And he said, we know they're going to emphasize Ezekiel Elliott. So our goal is to stop the run on the early downs, he said. We want to make them one-dimensional on offense. And then this is what I love that he said. We'll see what that quarterback is made of. And I thought Garrett Gilbert never flinched in that very situation today. And I thought you saw early in the game when he took off on a couple scrambles, one of which ended on the Cowboys bench, you know, you saw a lot of enthusiasm. You saw real engagement and reaction on an emotional basis from his teammates. And this is a guy who's only been here for 3 weeks. So it's really remarkable. And, you know, he played for the Orlando Apollos in the AAF. And I don't even know what that stands for, quite honestly. but his coach there was Steve Spurrier. We all know who Steve Spurrier is. And he said the following of Garrett Gilbert. The only difference between Nick Foles and Garrett Gilbert is that one makes $22 million a year and the other makes $70,000. So that's quite a statement about what Garrett Gilbert is capable of. And we all saw today completed passes to 8 different receivers in the game. You know, going into this game, I came up with this interesting point. You know, I mentioned that McCarthy wanted the quarterback to be able to distribute the ball to the receivers. And that really had not happened with Andy Dalton or Ben DiNucci. The Cowboys' top 3 receivers, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, and CeeDee Lamb, went into this game averaging just under 12 catches for 113 yards with a single touchdown in the 3 games after Dak Prescott's season-ending injury. Well, with Gilbert today, they had the 12 catches, but they had 174 yards. And, of course, CeeDee Lamb had a touchdown catch early in the game that resulted in Gilbert's first career NFL touchdown pass. But, you know, Mike McCarthy said here a little while ago, this is a reflection of what this team's capable of doing. Thinks they're definitely taking steps in the right direction the past 2 weeks. He said, everybody knows what our record is, 2-7 if you don't. He said, we got to start stacking wins. I would argue you got to get the first one before you can stack any on top of it. And it's been a long time since that happened. But the Cowboys have started 4 quarterbacks for the first time since 2015. The last 2 times it's happened, in fact, the only 2 times in franchise history they've started 4 different quarterbacks, 2001 and 2015, they finished 5-11 and 4-12. And at 2-7, this is the worst Cowboys record through 9 games since that 4-12 season in 2015, the other time they started 4 different quarterbacks.
Well, it is rather remarkable when you look at the numbers like that, I thought there were some things that jumped off the page to me today, and it goes to what you're saying. They for the first time played what you would call complementary football, and while the defense wasn't exactly, you know, getting the takeaways, which, you know, we've come to expect from this defense. We've come to expect them not to get takeaways, I should say.
I was going to clarify that for you.
No. I clarified it for myself. That wasn't the drugs talking. It was interesting, though, because the offense was able to, because they had a serviceable quarterback, and you could argue serviceable bordering on highly competent quarterbacking, that they were able to keep the defense off the field for long periods of time. And that is what really needs to happen. What used to happen around here was that would happen with Zeke Elliott in the running game. That happened for a certain extent. I mean, I thought Pollard had some good runs. I thought they managed the running game pretty well. Obviously, they had a lot more yards rushing than Pittsburgh did. Pittsburgh ended the day with about, 64, 70 yards, somewhere.
I think the Cowboys outrushed them by nearly 100 yards, and you're right. They had they dominated time of possession 33-24 to whatever that left for the Steelers, not nearly as much.
Yeah, so I thought those were some good things. And I thought you saw finally, Ed, if I can jump over to the defense for a minute, you finally saw, I mean, one of the big issues has been, it's one of the reasons Dontari Poe and some of these guys are no longer even here, is that, you know, they just kind of laid down and were run over, that offensive line, and even some of the linebackers to a certain extent. And Gallimore, the former fourth round pick for the Cowboys from Oklahoma, I mean, he looked powerful today. I mean, I honestly had to, early on, I'm like, wait, Malik, that guy's gone. Who's 96? And I thought he got in there and was really physical. And they made some plays. And Gregory coming from the backside, showing that he's not just a pass rusher, but actually being pretty good against the run. And, you know, sadly, the game really came down to, in a lot of ways, Ed, and again, we don't know, Pittsburgh would have had to punt the ball with about 3 minutes and 30 seconds left with all their timeouts. So you never know what the Cowboys would have done. But, you know, a really, and I know Cowboys fans will say ticky-tacky, but by the letter of the law, on a play that just really shouldn't have happened, Jalen Smith went in there and he popped Ben Roethlisberger upside the helmet with his hand, and he even pulled his hand back when he did it. It's certainly not anything that seemed to be, nefarious or over the top. But by the letter of the law, it was a hand to the face, and that allowed the Steelers to keep that drive alive, that key drive.
Yeah, they had him off the field except for that. And that call is going to be made every time, or almost every time, the quarterback gets hit in the face mask by a defensive player. And certainly it's going to be called when it's Ben Roethlisberger, because of his credibility around the NFL. But there was that play that Jalen Smith got flagged for. He also got flagged for that play that negated the fumble recovery by Alden Smith when he shoved Chase Claypool to the ground, or they made contact and Claypool went to the ground as he made his cut. It seemed like maybe Jalen Smith had established position in that situation, and maybe that didn't need to be called, but that was obviously a costly error by the Cowboys. But ultimately, the two turnovers that they did commit, the CeeDee Lamb fumble, the Cowboys have lost an NFL high 12 fumbles this season, and then the Garrett Gilbert red zone interception. An interesting note on that: all four Cowboys starting quarterbacks this season have committed a red zone turnover. They have 5 red zone turnovers this year as a team. That's the most in the entire NFL. The Cowboys increasing their league high turnover total now to 20 turnovers already by this Cowboys team. And so the Steelers have a plus 52 scoring margin off turnovers, because they scored 6 points off the two turnovers, and it's a 5-point game. You know, you lose by 5 and they scored 6 points off your two turnovers. That's The Steelers are second best in the NFL in that regard. The Cowboys are minus 90 points off turnover. They scored 13 off the turnovers they've created. They've allowed 103 points off turnovers. That's the worst in the entire NFL. It continues to be a major issue and really was the margin of victory in this game today.
You know, I did like some of the special team stuff that we saw, the old miracle,
the pass across the field.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of fun. And then, of course, at a big moment, here comes number 34. I'm like, okay, remind me who this is, racing up the side of the field. There were some big plays. Now, I thought it was a huge, Ed, kind of one of those karma things that, well, okay, several times. When they kept having to kick field goals, you know, I know you and I have been covering this thing for a long time. You can't help but think, all right, this is all going to come back to haunt them. When you're kicking four field goals, that generally, even though you have a really reliable kicker, that comes back to haunt you. And then, of course, at the end of the half, how bad can your luck be when a false start on a kick that was missed
from 54 yards?
Yes, ends up giving them another opportunity from 59. They had nothing to lose at that point because there's no time left. There's 2 seconds left, basically. So you might as well attempt it. And the guy nails it from 59 after he misses it from 54. I mean, that's the stuff that happens to really bad teams. And while the Cowboys performed a lot more representative today, I don't think any one of us is going to argue that this is not a bad team.
No, and to me, the most disconcerting part, you know, beyond the quarterback, you know, issue that they have, and obviously losing is going to create more quarterback options this offseason. They've gone from having the sixth pick in the draft when the day started to now they're third in the draft position. And so that could create a situation where they have a big decision to make on whether they want to pay Dak Prescott as a franchise quarterback at $37 million on a cap that's lowered to $175 million, or whether they want to use an unexpectedly high draft position to take a quarterback and start over and franchise tag and trade Dak Prescott, whose value should be enormously high, even though you have to make a projection about his injury and recovering from that. But that's obviously a conversation for the offseason. But to me, the Zeke Elliott part of the equation is a little disturbing. He's got 9 consecutive games without a single 100-yard rushing performance under Mike McCarthy. His totals, 96, 89, 34, 54, 91, 49, 45, 63, 51. I mean, he's barely halfway there in most of the games. And his average has fallen 5 consecutive weeks from a season high 4.79 to 4.08 to 3.75 to 3.32 to today's 2.8. yards per rushing attempt against the Pittsburgh Steelers, the undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers. So I think there has to be some level of consternation about how Ezekiel Elliott fits into the Mike McCarthy offense going forward. And when you've paid a running back and made him the highest paid player in the league at his position and did it out of turn when he had 2 years left on his contract and Amari Cooper and Dak Prescott had one, and he was out of camp last year and they were both in camp, you put yourself in a bad situation now. How do you go hire a coach who doesn't really have high value on a running back? So I think that's an issue for them. But those are things, big issues going forward, Matt. But it does seem like to me that at least for a week they represented themselves in a competitive way against one of the premier teams in the NFL, and they did it with their fourth different starting quarterback. And so I think they do deserve some of credit for that. Ezekiel Elliott said there are no moral victories, and there aren't. But you can still give people credit where credit's due. And I think Mike McCarthy and Kellen Moore and Gilbert to deserve a lot of credit for their performance today in that regard.
Yeah, I agree. And before we, before you and Stretch have a conversation and you let him hand out these grades, I did want to say, I wanted to hear this from you a little bit more. You said something at the start of our podcast, about the quarterback, Garrett Gilbert, and you felt like he may have earned the opportunity to, after they come back at that next ball game, that maybe he should earn the start even over a healthy Andy Dalton, if that turns out to be the case. That would be that's really interesting. I find that to be a very interesting take. It's not a bad take because I just watched this guy play, and quite honestly, the team sort of responded to him. On the other hand, you're paying a decent amount of money to a backup quarterback who you thought was going to be one of the top backups in the league in Andy Dalton, who should have more command of this offense and you know, you would think would give you the better chance. I don't know, but I find that very interesting. Was it, Ed, in your mind, is it just simply what your eyes told you in this game that you might as well try to ride something that you've actually found something that at least for one day worked? Why would you go to something else if something appears to be working?
Well, it's partly that. Like, I believe in football as a meritocracy, and I think what Gilbert did against the defensive team that he was playing against was really laudable under all circumstances of not, you know, expecting to play. He didn't even, like, he didn't even know when the week began that he was going to be the starting quarterback. And to go out there and play the way he did with the kind of poise that he demonstrated, I thought he showed great, you know, mobility. This was the third consecutive week that they were playing against a team that ranked in the top five in sacks. And he drew the number one team. He drew the Steelers. Well, Ben DiNucci drew the number three team, which was the Eagles, and we saw how overwhelmed he was. He got sacked, what, six times in the game. And the week before that was Washington. They're fifth in the NFL in sacks, and Dalton got knocked out of the game and really didn't do much. And I also don't, I think you have a much better chance of Garrett Gilbert being here to be your starting, your backup quarterback to Dak Prescott or whoever your starting quarterback may be than you do of having Andy Dalton in that role long-term. I mean, Dalton's proven he can start in the NFL. He hadn't proven he can come off the bench and play well from what we've seen, other than the very end of the Giants game when he did lead a fourth quarter drive to win that game. But I mean, you look at it, the two games that Dalton started, they lost by 18 and 22 points. The game DiNucci started, they lost by 14. And today, in the game that Gilbert starts, they lose by 5. And Gilbert had to play the toughest of all the teams. So, yeah, I think Gilbert has earned consideration, serious consideration. And if it were up to me, and I don't profess to know what Kellen Moore knows or what Mike McCarthy knows, I would have to give him the opportunity to start again based on what he just did.
One more editorial point I would like to make before I turn it over to the grades. You know, we've made a lot about these two young, and now Irving's back playing at tackle. He's hanging in there and still over on the right side. And we've talked a lot about the injuries, the offensive line. But when the game was on the line and it was 4th and 8, I'm not talking about the last ditch drive. I'm talking about the drive before that when they had plenty of time and timeouts. It was 4th and 8. And that was the left guard. And I know Hayward's a really good player. But the left guard, and I'm sure you saw those replays too, Ed.
Just Connor Williams.
Destroyed. Connor Williams. Yeah. I thought that was.
And he's the only offensive lineman that's played every game this year in one position.
Yeah. So that's concerning to me that a guy that really should be coming into his own as one of the what you thought would be kind of the final piece in a way to go with Lyle Collins and all these other guys and Martin and everybody else is and of course we know what happened with the center they had to change there, but I think you could argue that you have as much problem at left guard at times as you do at right tackle, left tackle, center, all these other positions.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair point. I think Connor Williams has always been regarded as a weak member of really good offensive line when they had, you know, Travis Frederick and Lael Collins and Zach Martin and Tyron Smith. And so now he's the only holdover, and that sort of is what distinguishes him. But the Steelers, to their credit, and maybe to explain the challenge the offensive line faced, the Steelers, you know, are the only team coming into this game with three players, all of whom had six or more sacks. Nobody else had even two, and they had three. And so they obviously create a unique challenge for any offensive line and any quarterback protection scheme because of the dominance and the variety of players that they can bring. I mean, the blitzing that they do is, you know, the highest in the NFL. They bring everybody at various times in the course of the game. And then Minka Fitzpatrick proves to be, you know, a great defender at the third level, a guy who can create all kinds of turnovers and had a hand in both of those that occurred in this game today. But, yeah, I mean, I think they obviously need to make an investment in the offensive line. But ultimately, I think we all know that for Gilbert to play the way that he did against the defense that we've been talking about and what they've accomplished and established really throughout the course of their history, but certainly yet again this season, one of the special defenses in the NFL, I think that's no small feat.
I think you're right. And Ed, I'm going to exit stage left. As you can see, Ed, and our folks can't see, but I am in a Lazy Boy recliner that my sister bought for me, and we put it out on the back patio, and this is where I watch all my football. And if not for all the pain, sitting out here watching football and watching election results, it's not a really bad way to live life. So that's what I've been doing. And I want to say all our group, both on Facebook and our Twitter. And by the way, Ed, I'm still not back on Twitter. I think you and I fell victim to what a lot of people fell victim to. Some sort of scam or something has knocked me off Twitter. But I just wanted to say that our followers and our subscribers have been incredibly just really great about this and generous in their thoughts and the way they've supported me. And I need to at least let everybody know that stuff makes a difference. And when I hear from people and everything, it means a lot to me. And so that's helped kind of buoy my spirits during a extremely difficult time. But Ed, fun to be back on with you. Now I'll stand by as you get ready to visit with Glenn Stretch Smith.
Well, Mose, it's been great to have you back in your regular role. We've missed you, and hopefully this next, you've exerted yourself here in a way that you haven't over the past 4 or 5 weeks since you suffered this terrible injury. We're glad that you've had the surgery and the healing has begun, and we know now there's no excuses for any lingering absence, given that you've got a bye week now to rest up from this exhaust. I'm sure you're exhausted. This is the most work you've done probably in 2 months, or maybe ever. Anyway, thanks for joining us. It's great to have you back, and hope your progress continues on an accelerated pace.
Thank you, Ed.
And we want to thank one of our long-term sponsors, MyBookie. You know, winning season returns at MyBookie. Winning season means doubling your first deposit. Winning season means insane props, epic bonuses, and the craziest cross-sport wagers. At MyBookie, winning season means watching live sports and betting live sports all season long. Rejoice the NFL season, but half over means action-packed Sundays and huge cash prizes. Get in on the action. Use promo code Doomsday. That's DOOMSDAY. And double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play. Designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. Bet with the best this NFL season for your chance to win big. Retire early. Use promo code Doomsday and double that first deposit. Your winning season begins today only at MyBookie. Unfortunately, winning season did not begin again for the Cowboys as they fall again to 0-4 playing backup quarterbacks or starters other than Dak Prescott. And we are joined now by Glenn Stretch Smith, former Cowboys scout, former Cowboys assistant coach, and someone who can give us some unique insight into where this team stands and the game we watched today. Stretch, I thought we had to commend Mike McCarthy and Kellen Moore for the work that they did getting Garrett Gilbert ready to play in this game. Up against one of the best defenses in all of football, the biggest pressure defense in the league. They seem to have a good game plan. They seem to execute and call plays pretty well throughout. I'm wondering overall what your opinion of the offensive performance and especially the quarterback were.
Well, I thought it was great, Ed. I really did. This is the first time I can say all year that it feels like the arrow has finally moved in the right direction. And I'm saying that in every phase of the football game. I mean, they did some great things on special teams. They did. They finally did what you thought they could do all year from a run defense standpoint. And then, like you were saying, I mean, to have a quarterback come in and have been in here basically 2 weeks and to be able to make some checks at the line of scrimmage, to be able to check out of a few things and check into a few things. And quite frankly, even on the ball that T.J. Watt batted, I thought it was the correct check to throw the wide receiver screen outside into the one-on-one look. So you got to give them a lot of credit. The entire staff, I've been as openly critical maybe as anybody about this staff, about the lack of really what felt like a want-to, a play hard. I saw all of those things out of this team today. You know, I think the one thing that I'll share with you and with the listeners is, you know, when I came into the league, I was in scouting, and at the time there was a guy named Mike Gittings. Ed, are you familiar with Mike Gittings?
The Gittings Report, of course, I'm familiar.
Correct.
With it, yes.
And I knew you would be, but here's the thing that I thought was really phenomenal. Now, this is a guy that would grade every single player in the preseason, every player across the board. And then what you did is the NFL teams would go in and buy this report just from somebody who had no dogs in the fight. He was just going and grading players. But he came in and spoke with us my first year with the Cowboys, and I really thought it was phenomenal how he would grade guys, even guys that maybe had 15 or 18 snaps in the preseason. He would put a grade on them, but he would always give them either a flat arrow, you know, a flat line, that's kind of where they were, a declining, you know, arrow down, or the arrow going up. And I really thought, you know, that's a great way to look overall. You give somebody a grade, but I love to kind of finish it with, hey, the arrow is moving the right direction. And I can honestly say, if you're a Cowboys fan, this is the first game this year that it has felt like the arrow has moved past the flat point and is moving in the upward direction.
So I want to ask you one more question about the offense, and that is, you talk about arrows up and arrows down. Zeke Elliott's arrow still not pointing up. 9 straight games under Mike McCarthy, no 100-yard rushing performances. Obviously, the Steelers' defensive game plan started with him, given the quarterback situation. How much of his problems are his own decline, and how much do you see is an issue with the offensive line and just the fact that they're not as talented up there as they need to be and will be, presumably, when they get their offensive tackles back next year?
Well, I think that you answered probably the question in really 3 different areas and how you ask it. That's my initial feeling, Ed, is that, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with the offensive line. I think some of it has to do with the scheme. And I've always felt this way. I don't think that Zeke is a Terrell Davis, you know, press the outside hip of the tackle zone running back. I think he is a downhill runner. He needs to see it A gap, B gap, and he needs to hit it, and he can. Do I think his style of play is declining? Absolutely not. He's a great blocker. He's a great route runner in running inside routes, doing those angles, angle return, all this stuff. He's a great screen runner. He can do all of those things. I'm not sure that this particular scheme, the way they're running the football right now, fits his style. And then when you combine with that, the fact that, you know, both tackles are not big physical guys that are, you know, let's say they go to the open end side where they don't have a tight end to help them, is Steele going to run out there and hook that defensive end where you can get the ball outside? And the answer is no, he's not. And so that takes a patient runner. And I know You've seen this through your years in the league. I mean, those guys who can really press that outside hip, press that outside hip, press that outside hip, and then bang, they see it. I don't think Zeke is that style of runner. Now, that's my own personal how I look at him. I think he is a downhill physical runner. I think absolutely he can still be effective. I think my gut feeling is his arrow is still going up, even though you don't see the production from a yardage standpoint and how he's running the football right now.
And I want to say this, too, before we move on to the defense on Ezekiel Elliott. I think you do have to give him credit for what he did today. I think it would have been awfully easy at 2-6. You're starting quarterbacks out. You're not winning any games. You're really not a big factor. You got a pulled hamstring. You didn't have a full practice at any point during the week. You got the bye week coming up. You can take 3 weeks off to recover and get healthy again. And he didn't do that. He was competitive enough that he wanted to be out there and he wanted to play against the Steelers. So I think you got to give Zeke Elliott credit for that. Now, as far as the defense, I think generally they were competitive. Obviously hurt in the second half on a couple of scoring drives in the fourth quarter that decided the outcome of the game. Some bad penalties, some really bad penalties. Two by Jalen Smith. None were really blatantly, you know, poor decisions by him. But the roughing the passer obviously extended a scoring drive that had led to a touchdown. And his illegal contact with the receiver, Chase Claypool, downfield didn't seem like a ticky-tack penalty to me. That negated the one turnover the Cowboys defense created in the game, Alden Smith's fumble recovery. So I'm just wondering what you saw from this defense and how it performed against the Steelers today.
Yeah. I mean, let me start with Jalen. You can't have your hands up around the quarterback's face. I mean, we know that's a no-no. You can't even get close in those situations. Now, let me tell you, the illegal contact, I thought, was a really almost a borderline bad call. He is entitled to that space in that zone where he was dropping to just as much as that receiver is. And for the receiver to go out and bang him, you know, we used to create that with our tight ends, with Novacek, with David LaFleur, with the guys that we used to have with the Cowboys. We'd go out and bang that guy. That would help us with separation. I thought it was a bad call. I mean, I thought it was a really unfortunate call at that point in the football game. And so Jalen Smith, to me, he's one of those guys that one game, I mean, he is flat drinking the wine. I mean, it is full-fledged on. The next game, he is barefoot and stomping the grapes. I mean, it really is. It's a ups and downs with him. And I contribute some of that to maybe a new defense. There were times when Pittsburgh lined up there in the second half when they'd go a bunch to an empty set, they'd go a trips bunch to a two receiver set to the other side, and he was trying to make the checks. I mean, there was still some confusion from a coverage standpoint, but I saw some things out of him that I like. And Ed, I absolutely 100% think that Vander Esch is the guy you build this defense around. I mean, you've got to gamble one way or the other. Can he stay healthy? But when you see him on that third down play where they ran the ball outside and they got on the Pittsburgh's last possession, and I mean, he took the correct angle and went at it and got him. Those are the things that to me that you're looking for. So I saw a lot out of him. I saw some things out of Sean Lee that still tell me, you know, he can play. But what I was most impressed with the front, I mean, you can see why they're gambling on Randy Gregory. I mean, he made a counter inside move today. I mean, it looked like something Charles Haley would do. I mean, really, really good. Alden Smith's a good player. I like that they lined Woods and Gallimore inside, two bigger physical guys. They were able to really play the run well. They took Pittsburgh completely out of their run game. And so – front
the Steelers
six,
had fewer than 50 yards rushing in the game.
Correct. So front six slash, and I'm saying six because a lot of the time they were in nickel 42. But, a great job by those guys. I mean, really, really, the one time that I've been openly critical of Mike Nolan and this scheme, but, boy, today with their guys healthy, being and Lawrence is included in that group, obviously, they got after it up front. And I'm giving them – a tons of credit. The back end stinks. It just does. I mean, Diggs is a good player. And then you have a bunch of down the line, even Jordan Lewis, who's undersized, Brown, I mean, he's kind of a – he needs to be a backup. Woods, I mean
– Well, he is the backup, right? He's playing because Chido Uzier is not playing.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm saying then you got Woods, who's you can't – he can't be your starter at safety. I think Wilson is okay. He probably needs to be a backup. So when you think about it, this secondary is not good, and it really is. It's the Achilles heel right now, I think, of the Cowboys defense, especially after I saw the front 6/7 do what they did today. But again, Cowboys fans, you've got something now I think you can hang your hat on, which is, please, Leighton Vander Esch, be healthy, and let's see if this front can continue to do some things with Randy Gregory and Alden Smith and DeMarcus Lawrence and Crawford and, you know, Dorrance. And you know, you got some guys that you can roll in there now.
And I mentioned the special teams, again, created zero turnovers. But special teams had two returns that created short fields for Garrett Gilbert and the offense. They only capitalized on one of them, a field goal. The other one ended with red zone interception by Gilbert. But the special teams, I thought, had a better performance, and their arrow seems to be now maybe pointing up a bit.
Absolutely. And then the blocked PAT, too.
Right, by Tyrone Crawford.
You know, yeah, so yes, absolutely. I mean, the return game, and the thing that I didn't mention here is their coverage teams. I mean, their coverage teams were after it today. They're starting to understand, you know, what Fossil wants. I mean, you got some guys that are flying around that are really doing some good things from a special teams perspective. So you've got to put the arrow up. And I mean, I'm giving those guys tons of credit. They had great job by the special teams.
Yeah, and we should also note they had a new punter and a new holder, and there were no significant mistakes in either of those two phases of the game as well. So the Cowboys, though, 2-7 entering their bye week. Very unfortunate situation they find themselves in. But obviously, as you said, Stretch, as you assess the performance of the team this week, there are some suggestions that this team's improving. I think they're going to have a big decision to make in 2 weeks when Andy Dalton's healthy again. I don't know how you don't play Gilbert again after the way he played against the Steelers today. He played, in my mind, in his single start way better than Andy Dalton did in either one of his two starts.
I agree with you 100%. I mean, you hope that he gets more comfortable, and you know, the poor throws he made, he wasn't able to set his feet, and you know, when you're playing Pittsburgh, I mean, that's easy to do, and unless you're Aaron Rodgers or Pat Mahomes, you got to get your feet set in order to make the throws that you need to make, especially when you're running those out cuts, you're running those comebacks, you're throwing that ball all the way across the field. But I thought he did a phenomenal job. I thought he handled the offense well. And you know what? From a leadership standpoint, I mean, I thought the team kind of believed in him. I mean, even on the pick that he threw down there when he got hit, when you see guys rally around a guy like that, to me, that speaks volumes that the respect is there. And I'm with you. I mean, I think they got to give the reins to him and see what he can do. You just went toe to toe with arguably the best football team in the NFL. So I'm taking my hat off offensively to what they did. I thought the offensive line played better. I thought the tackles played better. I thought you saw some things out of the tight ends. I thought you saw some things out of a three tight end group. Amari Cooper, I mean, he did some things. I mean, all those guys. I mean, really the one – you know, really unfortunate thing was this CeeDee Lamb when he got stripped, and you know, they turned the ball over right there because they were moving it again, and I felt like really about to cause Pittsburgh to question whether they were going to be in the game at all.
Well, we're going to end this segment on the unusual circumstance of you agreeing with me. I think there's a lot of value in that, and to the point you just made about their confidence in Gilbert, really, was that ever more apparent than when the Steelers scored for the first time and the Cowboys had 1:10 left in the ball on their own 25, and hey, they're going shotgun and they're trying to make a play. It ended in the Lamb fumble, but the quarterback executed two perfect passes, one negated by a penalty, and then the fumble. But showed a lot of faith in the quarterback, and I think that's a good sign going forward. Stretch, we love having you on the show. We appreciate your weekly contribution and look forward to talking to you after you get a little downtime.
Hey, man, appreciate it. Have a great night, guys.
So there you go, Glenn Stretch Smith with his stretch marks. We've stopped grading the team because of what a unique situation this team finds itself in a season that has gone the way nobody expected. But, you know, you can't count on the Cowboys to win games like they have in the past. But what you can count on is celebrating and enjoying a Miller Lite while you're watching the Cowboys with friends. Now, it might, circumstances might look a little different, but as the original light beer, Miller Lite is always here to bring people together through Miller time, whether you're toasting friends near or far. Great taste is always close by. So enjoy a Miller Lite with friends. And again, that looks different for everyone, but it keeps everyone connected. And that's what's really important. So enjoy the beer with your friends. Enjoy it while you watch your favorite sporting events. Miller Lite has a 30-year partnership with the Dallas Cowboys dating back to 1991 when the team was still playing at Texas Stadium. And I'm old enough to remember when they were still playing at Texas Stadium. In fact, I worked a lot of those games from 1989 on. So during the 2020 NFL season, Miller Lite celebrating 60 years of Cowboys. Well, they say greatness. That's what the copy says. But I can't say all 60 years have been an exhibition of greatness. And certainly this season has not been, but you can pick up specially marked packaging that the Cowboys 60th anniversary logo and imagery all at participating retailers. So this holiday season, remember, Miller Lite will celebrate a unique occasion with the Cowboys as a title sponsor of the iconic Thanksgiving Day game. Miller Lite and the Cowboys will produce a new holiday line of knitwear, that's sweaters, hats, and socks. Proceeds will be donated to the Salvation Army. So enjoy your Miller Lite, but enjoy it and celebrate responsibly. That's the Miller Lite Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. That's 96 calories, 3.2 carbs for every delicious 12-ounce bottle or can you might enjoy. So let's close this out, this edition of the Doomsday Podcast, as we head into the bye week. As we mentioned, the Cowboys are 2-7. The Steelers are 8-0, the best start in franchise history. They've secured a 17th consecutive season with a 500 or better record since drafting Ben Roethlisberger in 2004. Roethlisberger now owns the record for the most career seasons without playing on a sub-500 team in NFL history. The man is simply a winner. Unfortunately for the Cowboys, a lot of instability at quarterback this year. In fact, let's take a quick look at the record each quarterback who started the season for the Cowboys has produced. Dak Prescott was 2-3 in his starts. Andy Dalton 0-2 in his starts. And now Ben DiNucci, the rookie seventh round pick, and Garrett Gilbert, both 0-1. And it remains to be seen who will start after this bye week when the Cowboys play at the Minnesota Vikings, where they will encounter, oh, such a popular man from their recent past, Mike Zimmer, a former Cowboys defensive wizard and coordinator, an aggressive play caller on the defensive side of the ball. He's the head coach of the fighting Minnesota Vikings, and he will entertain the Cowboys and challenge them in some unique ways as he gets to look at their tape and decide how he wants to approach that game for an entire 2 weeks before he gets to attack either Andy Dalton or Garrett Gilbert, depending on who Mike McCarthy wants to start a quarterback in that game. But that's about it from here tonight at Jerry World. And I'm signing off. Good night, North Texas, and everybody across the country. Thanks for joining the Doomsday Podcast.